Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first episode of what's going to be a podcast where I basically talk about my thoughts on modern cars and the modern technologies that go into them and whether or not I think they're going to be useful or not, or how I feel about how dumb they are in some circumstances. So to get right into it for this first episode, today we're going to be talking about the Jeep Wrangler 392. Now, if you haven't heard about the Jeep Wrangler 392, it is Fiat Chrysler's newest solution to speed demons who want a Jeep Wrangler and a big engine and don't just want a V6 in it. Now, I will be the first to say I understand why Jeep owners would want a V8 engine, because Jeep owners go off-roading and you do want a lot of power and a lot of torque for going off-road. I'm not going to say you don't. However, I will say on the latest iteration of the Jeep Wrangler, starting with the JL in 2018, the Jeep does now have a V6 engine that has a lot of capabilities. Now, we're talking about a V6 engine that can put out 285 horsepower, and I believe it's also rated at 285 pound-feet of torque, which is very impressive for a vehicle in that weight class, considering it's not turbocharged. As far as I know, considering most vehicles are today, the V6 in that vehicle is most likely gasoline direct injected, which gasoline direct injection in and of itself is a whole other controversy that I'll probably get into, but yeah, so that's how that's squeezing all that power out. So I mean, honestly, in my opinion, that is already plenty of power for what a Jeep will ever need, but obviously there are enthusiasts out there who will always want more, and I can't say no to enthusiasts. I build my own computers and I put high performance components in them, and I can overclock them and make them more powerful than the factory, so can't say that I don't understand why enthusiasts would want more power. However, the Jeep Wrangler 392 is something I just do not agree with. The Jeep Wrangler 392, if you don't know, was just unveiled about a week ago from Jeep, basically Fiat Chrysler. And it is the 6.4-liter Hemi from the Ram 2500 Heavy Duty. Now, if you don't know about the 6.4-liter Hemi, it is a powerhouse. Now, I'll get into Ram eventually and my thoughts on them, and basically all I'm going to say is to you guys that I don't like Fiat Chrysler in general. However, for the most part, what I will say is that the 6.4-liter Hemi that they're putting in this thing has an exceptional amount of power. We're talking about 470 horsepower and 470 pound-feet of torque. Now, Jeep themselves say that the max torque rating actually comes right after engine RPM idle. Let me rephrase that. When the engine RPM is just above idle speed. So, what does this mean? Well, an engine typically, no matter what size or displacement, generally speaking today, an engine will idle anywhere between 500 to about 700, I'd say, RPM. So this is basically saying that, say the Jeep idles at about 550 RPM, which is most likely what the Jeep Wrangler 392 is going to be idling at, because most V8 engines idle at around 550 to 600 RPM. It's just basically standard across the industry and has been for a long time. So it's probably, I'm going to say the max torque is probably around 1,000 RPM. It could be even lower than that. And the reason why the engine is tuned this way is actually for the rock climbing that Jeep people use. So we're talking about when we're going up really steep inclines that could be inclines of, like, I don't know, say like 40% or more. And yes, this is a real thing. You can look it up online, and trust me, there are Jeep enthusiasts out there who will do these sorts of things. So this is where the torque is coming in handy. This I understand. See, this Jeep is something that I find is very hard to find an easy middle ground to understand why it exists. Because in order to understand why it exists, you need to think about both sides of the story. I'm going to give my opinion first. I think 470 horsepower and 470 pound-feet of torque is extremely too much power for something in this weight class. We're talking about a vehicle that weighs under 5,000 pounds that is going to be having 470, almost 500 horsepower from the factory, not even turbocharged or anything. And you know that there are going to be enthusiasts out there who are going to throw turbochargers and stuff on them, because people already do this to Jeeps. And they're probably going to be pumping out over 500 horsepower and probably over 500 pound-feet of torque easily depending on who rebuilds it and stuff like that. So I just think it's too much power. And you might say, how is that too much power? Because most people don't need this much power in their day-to-day life. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, this vehicle isn't made for everyday people. Okay, fine, whatever. But this is a trend that a lot of auto manufacturers are following today. And we're talking about most manufacturers are now turbocharging engines. Now, most of this trend, I will say, is coming from trying to save on gas, trying to increase the economy of vehicle engines and their internal combustion processes. However, in this case, this Jeep is not saving any gas because this is a 6.4 liter Hemi. Now, will you be saving gas driving a Jeep compared to a Ram 2500 heavy duty? Yes, probably, because the 2500 heavy duty probably weighs anywhere between 8,000 to 10,000 pounds at least. So the Jeep weighing probably about half of that, or say 6,000 pounds, is definitely going to be getting better gas mileage. However, it's still not going to be anything short of terrible considering the displacement size of the engine. I mean, any engine over 5 liters is already getting extremely inefficient if you really break it down. So personally, I don't really understand. I really don't. Because what I was saying is, auto manufacturers are following this trend where everybody needs more horsepower, everybody needs more torque, everybody needs this, everybody needs that, everybody needs to feel like they're driving a sport vehicle. No. No. They're putting too much power in these cars. I mean, we're talking about Ford Explorers that have over 300 horsepower from these turbocharged four-cylinder engines, which, by the way, are some of the most unreliable pieces of crap that Ford's ever manufactured. But that's an aside. Basically, just saying we're looking at 300 horsepower in SUVs is becoming standard now. I mean, Honda, I think starting last year, it was probably 2019, 2018, started having the default displacement in their engines be 1.5 liter turbocharged engines in the Honda Civics and the Honda CRVs, and possibly the Honda Accord. I'm not entirely sure on that, but on the Honda Civic and the Honda CRV. Now, we're talking the 1.5 liter turbocharged over the 2 liter is not that much extra horsepower. I believe it's at most 20 horsepower, probably not even 30. But you are getting more power, and when you're talking about a vehicle like a Honda Civic that already only probably weighs 4,000 pounds or less, you're talking about pumping a lot of power through those wheels. Well, it's the same thing with this Jeep, and it's a rear-wheel drive. Rear-wheel drive vehicles, people generally like the feel of them more, for the most part, because you can play with them, and you can spin them out, and you can do burnouts and stuff in them. Well, what do you think people are going to be doing in these Jeep Wranglers? Jeep Wranglers are one of the most unaerodynamic vehicles to ever have existed because of their square, boxy, tall design. I mean, the Jeep is almost as tall as my Chevy Silverado 1500, and my truck is also lifted, by the way, and my dad's Jeep is almost as tall as it, which is really crazy to think about. It's already pretty high off the ground, being lifted up a little bit because it's already a little bit lifted high off the ground from the factory, especially if you get a four-wheel drive model because, you know, people, the Jeep is designed for off-road. And then on top of that, you got the fact that it's a giant box. And then on top of that, you got a short wheelbase, or a lot shorter than something like a pickup truck, right? So you're looking for a recipe for disaster here. Now, they said that they upgraded the powertrain to support these 470 horsepower and 470 pound-feet of torque models of engines. Now, for that, I can't really say what they did. I'm not really sure, because if you don't know, Jeep themselves does not manufacture these 8-speed transmissions. Fiat Chrysler found out a few years ago that American-made transmissions aren't a good thing. They found out that they were building pretty shit transmissions. They were building 6-speeds and 8-speeds on their own just a few years ago, and they were just blowing up left and right. They would literally explode under people's cars, or gears would just be dropping left and right. And you know what? That's not really good when you're one of the biggest American car companies in history. And especially now today, Jeep SUVs are very popular. That is not something that you want to be having on your knee. So they found this company called ZF that actually works out of Austria, and they produce automatic transmissions. And they produce automatic transmissions for luxury cars for a long time. So the most current one that Jeep is using, and actually, well, I should say Fiat Chrysler in general, is the ZF8 speed. The ZF8 speed is used, and I'm pretty sure the Ram 2500 heavy duty, possibly, not entirely sure on that one. I know it's definitely used in the 1500. I know it's certainly used in the Jeep Wrangler, because my father has one in his Jeep Wrangler. And I know it's definitely in the Grand Cherokees, because I've read some problems with them. And I remember reading that they had 8-speed transmissions, and I know they're from ZF because Jeep basically uses the same powertrain on most of their vehicles, which is the same for most manufacturers. They usually reuse engines and transmissions across different models and just kind of fit them into the new bodies. But, so they upgraded the powertrain, and I'm not really sure what Jeep did for this. I keep saying Jeep, Fiat Chrysler, really. It's based out of Italy, to be honest now. I mean, this is an Italian company now, but I'm not really sure what they did, because I don't know if it was their engineers that somehow beefed up the powertrain, if they made their new own automatic transmission, or if they contacted ZF and asked ZF to make a beefed up version of the transmission. That has not been made clear. And if there's been any information written about this or spread anywhere, I have not heard of it yet. And I have a feeling that it's probably not going to come out until the vehicle comes out, because I'm sure Jeep doesn't want to spoil that for everybody. So, we'll see how that goes, but I just want to say, the ZF8 speed, or I should say, the ZF8HP, I believe is rated at 800 horsepower, but considering most of the vehicles that actually run the 8-speed are generally all under 400 horsepower from most of the manufacturers, because you got to keep in mind, BMW also uses these transmissions, because like I mentioned, these transmissions are used in luxury vehicles. And in the luxury vehicles they've been used in, this has actually been used for a very long time. I remember reading a while back that the ZF8 speed actually dates back to, I believe, 2011 or 2012 in an early BMW model. So they've been around for a very long time. And back then, they did have a decent amount of issues, but it's been 8 years now, 9 years now, and they've definitely ironed them out. And from what I've read online, ZF is one of the most reliable transmission companies, automatic transmission companies, I should specify, in modern times as of late, and they've made some of the best transmissions for luxury and sport performance cars, if we were talking about automatics. However, just saying, I don't know how this is going to hold up, because 470 horsepower is a lot for any automatic transmission, never mind one that generally isn't used in cars that have anywhere near that horsepower. I mean, even BMWs, we're not even talking about 400 horsepower generally. If we're talking about stock, I mean, you're talking about like sedans and SUVs that use these from BMW, and they're generally all under 400 horsepower, at most probably like 320, 350. So we're really pushing a lot out of this thing. And another thing you got to think about is the 470 horsepower, actually 470 horsepower horsepower and wheel torque, 470 foot-pounds of wheel torque, because something that you need to keep in mind is that a lot of times auto manufacturers don't actually tell you this, but horsepower and torque measurements, there are two different ways that you can measure them. You can measure them just the engine itself with nothing connected to it, or you can measure it when there's wheels connected to the driveline. Now, when there's wheels connected to the driveline, there's obviously more friction and there's inefficiency, and you lose some of that horsepower and torque going to the wheels. Sometimes more torque can be produced from the wheels when you use automatic, well, I say automatic transmissions, but when you use gearboxes to change gears in general, and you can have higher and lower ratios, and you can increase and decrease torque. Anyway, a 470 horsepower might not be entirely accurate, and I didn't actually look to see, but sometimes manufacturers will even have a little note next to the ratings, and they'll say, estimated at. This I don't know. I don't know if Jeep says it's estimated at, but I will say that I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of sketchy business going on where you're not going to quite get the full 470 horsepower, because again, I just find this very hard to believe in such a small form factor of a vehicle, and it's such a niche product in general. They also upgraded cooling systems in these, from what I've read. I mean, I from what I've understand, they've upgraded a lot of things in these. I think they strengthened the frame. They said they strengthened the driveline, which means they probably strengthened the drive shaft. Hopefully they strengthened the differentials, because I don't know if you've ever seen the differential on a Jeep, but they're pretty small and whimsy, to be completely honest with you. At least compared to like my pickup truck, where it's a lot more heavy duty. And, like, it's kind of crazy to think about this, too, because just something to throw in for reference, like, my 17-year-old pickup truck has a V8 in it, right? And obviously, it's inefficient compared to today's standards with modern technology, but we're talking about a V8 from my day, from 17 years ago, that puts out 293 horsepower and 329 pound-feet of torque. The differential on my truck in both the front and rear is a lot more beefy than the differential on my dad's Jeep. However, my dad's Jeep also puts out 285 horsepower. Does it put out less torque? Yes, it does. It puts out about 40 pounds less of torque. But it puts out the same horsepower, and the differentials are way smaller. Now, some of this has to do with the vehicle weight being a lot less, and also towing ratings not being as high, because obviously a little 4,000-something-pound vehicle isn't as strong to tow as a 5,000-something-pound vehicle like my pickup truck, which is designed for towing and hauling. But that all aside, I'm just saying, just another interesting thing to think about. Hopefully they spec up the differentials. Otherwise, it doesn't really seem like there seems to be that much different about these Jeeps. I don't really think they did many design changes. I mean, there was a few cosmetic changes that I noticed, a few. They, like, made some 2020 anniversary models because it's Jeep's, like, 80-something year anniversary, or maybe it's just 80 years, I don't remember, but it's their anniversary this year, a big one. Excuse me, guys. And so, there doesn't seem to be too many changes cosmetically. I know that in their computer systems, the Uconnect radio system, they made it a higher-end tier on all models of Jeep now. So, like, before, where you might have had to buy the Rubicon to get special, like, off-road features on, like, the radio, where you could, like, view the specs of your system, like engine temperature and oil pressure and transmission temperature and yada yada yada, where you might normally have a small screen to view that on the instrument cluster, but you could also view it on the radio in an off-road app. I believe most vehicles, or most Jeeps, or maybe even all Jeeps now have that. They were at least saying that about the anniversary models, and obviously this model has it, because obviously the Jeep Wrangler 392 is going to be a very niche product, and it's probably going to be a very, very high-end product, and I would not be surprised. I don't know if they released a price, but I'm just going to guess right now, I would not be surprised if the Jeep Wrangler 392 costs at least $50,000 to $60,000 just to start. Never mind if you start specking it out with even higher-end options than that. Unless it is just a super high-end option and it's not actually its own freestanding vehicle. We'll see. The only other thing I remember from the announcement that kind of stuck out to me was half back doors, where instead of there being a full-size back door in the Jeep, you could still have a back door in a back seat, but the door would be half the size, or a lot smaller at least, than what the current four-door models are, so that you could have a... I don't actually know what the reason for it is. I don't know if it's look, if it's something to do with the wheelbase for off-roading, but wasn't really that important to me, to be completely honest with you, and I kind of thought it was a dumb thing that they did, because the Jeep Wrangler four-door is... it's kind of fine right now, and any less room in the back seat would kind of be too small, but whatever. I guess it's what people want, right? Because Jeep said they're all about people, and apparently, according to Jeep, the people are the ones who design and tell them what to do, and then they're the ones that actually just go out and build them. So apparently this is all based on what the consumers want. So will the Jeep Wrangler 392 be a good vehicle? I don't know. But you just heard my thoughts talking about it for about 19 minutes now. And, I mean, if you liked it, that's good. If you didn't, that's kind of sad. But either way, I appreciate you listening to this episode talking about the Jeep Wrangler 392. And hopefully you'll stay tuned in the future for me talking about more modern vehicles and my thoughts on them in the future. Thank you, guys.